So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you guide and direct our time now? Thank you for the opportunity to look at different facets of the Christian life, especially in regard to what ladies face. And I pray that you'll give me wisdom. Lord, would you give me accuracy and your power above all, now in Jesus' name, amen. A woman who reflects the heart of Jesus. And let me say here at the beginning that whenever you deal with character traits, there is a tendency to look at how I can develop that character trait. Well, that's not going to work. We need to understand the character trait of Christ, but we must understand it is Christ's own person and power that will cause that character trait to become part of our life. We have to understand it, and we have to reckon it to be true, as Romans 6 says, and then we have to yield. So we have active participation, but not dependence upon ourselves to be something. Now, and that's such a great encouragement, because as we'll go through some of these character traits, you're going to say, oh boy, that's just not me. Well, don't get discouraged, because it isn't naturally any of us. If it's really going to be the heart of Jesus, it's going to be the heart of Jesus. It's going to be His working in your life, and that's a great encouragement. In fact, one of the greatest blessings in life is in the area of our weaknesses to see God do it. Wow, that was divine. And then it takes that focus off of what Satan wants us to do to get down on ourselves and so on. Well, let me just talk first just for a couple of moments as the introduction. I appreciate the emphasis about who Christ is. Christ is the God-man. He truly became a man, and yet His spirit was divine. So He's a man, and He is God. Now, I think we can understand that. Before we were saved, were we different than after we were saved? Something dramatic happens. We were lost in trespasses and sins in our spirit. We were cut off from God prior to salvation. And when we're saved, we are born again. We are a new creation. And we now are alive unto Christ. And so, though you looked somewhat the same, I mean, you may have obviously changed after you're saved, but you know what I'm saying, you were the same person, you really weren't the same person after you got saved. You're a brand new creation. And so we can understand a little bit of humanity with a human spirit and humanity with a divine person spirit. And we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, so it's not totally outside of understandability, so to speak, for us to realize that God, man, he truly was God in his spirit, but he was totally submitted to his humanity. And so what we see in Christ's life, and this is what I want you to get, is the fact that a human being can accomplish these things, but it is through the divine power. And remember, Christ did not do what he did through his own second person of the Trinity power. He did it through the power of what? Or whom? The Holy Spirit, just like us. Spirit came upon him. Spirit anointed him. He spoke in the power of the Spirit. And so he is a great example of what can be accomplished in our humanity through the power of the Spirit of God. It's amazing to think the same Spirit that enabled Christ enables us. And as we often talk about in John 14, he said, if you'll believe, you'll do the same works that I've done. And then he goes on and sort of breathtaking to say, greater works than these will you do. Because I go to my Father, and the victory that I'm going to win on the cross puts me in the place of authority. And when I send the Spirit, I'm going to send him to represent me as the conquering man, your representative, you're in me. And so therefore, he's going to be enabled to have greater victory over Satan than I had, because God follows his own laws and he won the victory at the cross. So we're on the other side of the cross. We can do greater works. So it's very important that we understand when we look at Christ, the same way he had victory, though he was a perfect man, is the same way we have victory. And we can have that. And remember, too, as is said in the introduction, he experienced all that we experienced. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cried. He was in pain. Believe me, more pain than we'll probably ever experience, for sure. He had sadness. He had perfect anger. And he hungered 40 days. He thirsted. So he was rejected. And he experienced loneliness. So these are things that are very comforting for us, that our God understands his creature's life because he's actually lived that life. Now, these different lessons are set up somewhat in a devotional manner, and they are set up alphabetically. So this is not a progression of the character of Christ in any importance or building one upon another. In our last study, it was very progressive, looking at the deception issues, looking at then the strongholds of wrong thinking, and then what the right thinking was. And so it was sort of built as it went to some degree. This one will be somewhat standalone, though we'll be able to interrelate them. They're standalone issues. But I think that'll be a blessing too. That means I won't have to review as much, except on the introductory ideas, but we will talk about these. So number one is approachable. Christ was approachable. It starts with an A, so that's why it's here at the beginning. And as she says, we live in a day in which there's all kind of communication. It's a pretty amazing day. But most of it's done behind a computer or behind a smartphone rather than actually with people. I refer to studies all the time, and the last few studies by top executives in the social media industry have said that the whole society around the world has been changed. People do not know how to communicate to one another. There's all this communication going, but it's all partially artificial, and especially all the communication such as Facebook or Twitter, it's public. So it is not genuine private communication. Email still can be semi-private, and you have, you know, ability to communicate one-on-one, but we now do not know how to approach someone, talk to them, solve problems, understand body language, and be able to work through things nearly like we used to. And so we've got to look at the matter of how open are we to people? How approachable? If we're going to be like Christ, we're going to have his love. The fruit of the Spirit is the very first aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Lord Jesus said the greatest of the commandments were to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we've got to be caring enough about people that we let people in our lives. Now, folks, it isn't easy to let people in your life, is it? It isn't easy, really, to engage. The more shy you are, the more private a person you are, the more difficult it is. But we're talking about God enabling us, and we're talking about spiritual gifting that is given for the edification of the church, that God can supernaturally help us. And of course, Christ, here he is. You talk about someone who had standing. You had someone who was himself the ruler of the universe, the creator of the universe. If there's anyone that could be, above being approachable, certainly would have been Christ. But Jesus did not project that kind of aura. In fact, people were drawn to Christ. Even after he taught who he was, even after he did the mighty things that he did, he was very, very approachable. And I think we have to ask ourselves the question, how approachable are we? Would start with your own family. How approachable are you? Oh, I'm approachable. Really? Are you really? Are all of your family willing to share their innermost heart with you? Share some of their burdens and problems? Are you able to be approached for issues in your life? You know, I think this is one that takes a little bit of honesty. It's the kind of thing where if you sat down with your family and asked if you were approachable, you might find yourself getting a little bit hurt, okay? Because we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we don't realize sometimes the walls that we put up or the pressures that we live under or just the way we operate. We don't understand. Sometimes we're very self-centered. And we are not very approachable at the times that there are needs. And so I think this is quite to me, it's a very probing character trait, isn't it? The approachability of Christ, who had every reason to be above everybody, and who definitely was not. So the first category here under approachable that she mentions is approachable to the outcast. Approachable to the outcast. We tend to gravitate to people that we like. That's natural. We gravitate to people that we feel comfortable with, and we feel, frankly, if we're honest about it, that are sort of on our level. Okay. Oh, we would never admit that, but that is the way it is. Well, I'm always amazed when I read of Christ's interaction with leprosy. Leprosy, as you know, in the Old Testament was dealt with very strongly. They had to be outside the city. They did not want leprosy to spread. This is what the law said. And they were untouchables. This was something that would make you unclean. It was all for the protection of the people. So if anyone was an outcast, and even a legitimate outcast, it was someone who had leprosy. It was a frightening disease, as it would take away feeling, and then people would hurt themselves, and it would just, their bodies would deteriorate. It's an awful thing. But the Lord Jesus had a leper come to him, and we just read about that, if you're in our Bible reading. And the leper came to him and said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And then Jesus, here he's listening to this outcast, says, "If thou wilt," or "I will," he says. And then what did he do? Touch him of all things. And what happened? Well, he was healed, of course. And he was very kind to this leper. And you know, some of the depth of Christianity, real essence of it, is seen when we are willing to sometimes get into a difficult situation with unlovely folks and be a blessing to them. I'm very thankful that our church has a ministry in the jails. Every county around us, we have it now. In Milwaukee County alone, 362 folks were saved last year in the jails. And about 500 and some finished their courses, their first discipleship course in the jails. Our RU ministry, yes ma'am.
When I think of leprosy, I think of polio. When we were all young, you know, and polio was going around, nobody knew where polio was coming from.
Right.
And so they would put a sign on your door, "Please don't come into this house."
Yeah, that's an untouchable.
And it was just the same kind of, the same kind of idea that nobody knew where this mysterious thing was coming from.
Well, that's a very good illustration of leprosy because the fear factor. It's understandable. you know, there are other kinds of diseases that have been coming through, and frankly, you have a right to be scared about that. I have traveled enough to be in some pretty unsavory situations when it comes to health, and I remember one of the most difficult times where I was challenged on this. I was way into the interior of Russia, and this was not long after the Soviet Union fell. And so this was, just being there in itself was a difficult thing. I was in a very tough lodging situation. You know, for a quote-unquote first world country, it was third world conditions. But then they were all excited about taking me to a prison to visit a Bible study that was there. And of course, I was glad to do it. Boy, I got to, I mean, you talk about dilapidated old Soviet regime prison. I mean, I just shuddered, because in that very prison, Christians had not too far past been incarcerated and suffered greatly, because we were way up near the Ural Mountains where I was at. Went in there, and you had to go after layer, and it was just dilapidated, smelly, bad. I mean, our prisons, for whatever they lack, are certainly some of the best in the world. Finally got into this crowded room filled with believers. I preached to a larger group, and then I came into these believers, and they were thrilled we were there. And the glow of the Lord was on their faces, you know, pretty grimy type, a lot of them older. I can't explain to you it, but you know, there's hepatitis is big with the water problems. There's all kinds of issues. And so they started off with tea. And so they made tea in these grimy cups, and they poured the tea in the cup, and they handed it to me, and they had some cookies where I don't know where they got them from. And honestly, that was one of my toughest moments. I've been in, you know, in jungle situations, but this one was worse than ever, because I knew the illness. You could even look at the men and see they were emaciated. And I thought, well, what would Jesus do? Because they were so excited about giving it to me. And I thought, well, I'm going to risk my life here, because I've got to show love to these guys. And I drank my tea and ate my whatever it was and went on, and thankfully was okay. I had been given the vaccines for hepatitis and all those things, so it wasn't like I was totally unprotected, but I just thought, you know, these are as precious to the Lord as other people that look a whole lot better. They're saved, and what a blessing. And they were saved during the Soviet regime, a lot of these people, not because they weren't in prison because they were Christians. They were saved through the testimony of Christians. That's why I was taken by a former prisoner into the prisons, Gennady. He's with the Lord now. And he just was all excited about showing me these men he had led to the Lord. It was a real blessing. So I appreciate it. This is what we're dealing with. The Lord, who is truly human, yet God, was approachable. And a real test of being like Christ is, are we approachable? You know, do we sometimes get disgusted with our family and we're not approachable? Well, that's pretty sad. And are we above being approachable by people with needs? And like I said, I appreciate our RU ministry. I appreciate our bus ministry. You know, there are some philosophies of church building, you know, that you just simply go, for instance, for suburbanites and certain class, and that's what your church is going to be like. Then you can have an inner city church, and it's just for them. That's not what you find in Scripture. And I appreciate our people. You know, sometimes coming in will be someone that is not necessarily like the norm in our church, and I appreciate the love of our folks. That's why God blesses this church, I can guarantee you. Loving the unlovely is what Christ wants us to do. And by the way, we're all very unlovely from a spiritual standpoint without Christ. And you know what I look at? I love to see some people that look so upstanding now and so sharp in our church. I remember when I first met them. I remember what they looked like at RU. I remember what they looked like when I first worked with them. And God's changed them. You got to see potential in what God can do in people's lives. There's nothing greater than that. And we need to love the Lord. I tell you, when when you can have victory in an area like this, you get freed. You really do get freed. It's a wonderful thing. Approachable to the hopeless. Now, this is not easy in Christian work. We try to have a schedule, don't we? Are we busy? Do we have a lot of things that demand our time? She talks about that. And we want to help others, but it seems like people that are really needy need lots of help. And the phone can ring over and over. When somebody's really hopeless, really needing help, we've got to ask the Lord for grace to be able to meet that need. Are we approachable? People today, by the way, because of all of the things that people get into and also the emotional problems that they face, can be quite high intensity. Takes a lot of time to be able to help people. And obviously we only do have so much time, but are we willing to take time? I marvel at some of our busiest people are constantly taking calls and texts from people in need and staying with them to help them. And it is those people that I know are doing that, that you see the glow of the Lord about them. And somehow they're able to handle all that they're doing, especially busy mothers. I am amazed how some of our ladies just are approachable by the hopeless. You know, you finally get to a point that you think, what's the use? Can't you just buck up and get over it? You know, I don't have the time. And sometimes, by the way, you are taken advantage of, and under leadership and wisdom, you have to, like for instance, your husband says, no, you just cannot do it that much, that's fine. You'll have to, but I'm just saying our spirit ought to be that we're willing to do it. How many times have you gone to the Lord for help? Many, many times. Has he ever turned you down? Never once has he turned you down. That's the spirit of the Savior. And that's at least got to be our heart, though we've got to be wise in how we do handle ourselves. Yes?
I was going to say, Angie Lipinski had brought a lot of people to this, even this Bible study, you know, who had never been in trouble with the church, you know, and I'm saying, because she's always witnessing to people, you know, I'm just trying to say, Betty wouldn't do
that. Yeah, and she did take a lot of time, and what I've been thankful for is that several of the ladies that she reached, other ladies have really taken the time. And it's been a high intensity amount of time to help them through. But now they're some of the key ladies, you know, in our church. It's a wonderful thing. And again, I'm not saying that you can sometimes be manipulated and taken advantage of. And you need leadership. That's where you need your husband or other leadership in your life in that regard. But we need to be willing to be approachable to the hopeless. And that's important. We need to ask ourselves, do we have the time? Are we just too filled with ourselves to really help somebody? I can just tell you right now, no matter what stage of life you're in, God has at least one person he's wanting you to be helping on a regular basis. I'm sure, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's the Great Commission. So, there ought to be at least somebody. And it can get wearisome to give the same counsel for the 32nd time, you know, and to still love him and be for him. And you just have to. I mean, you've got to be approachable. All right. So let's not be too busy to have the concern of the Lord. And along with not being busy, approachable to the concerned. Again, we have schedules, we need schedules, and I'll just say this, I'm going to have to go here, but it gives the illustration of the centurion that came and sent us, and it was a Roman officer, and he asked, it was one of his servants, was looking like he was going to die, and he said, and the Lord said, I will come and heal him. Christ had just preached the great Sermon on the Mount. He was busy. This was a distance where he was at to where he would have to go. And then the man showed great faith and said, I'm under authority, therefore I have power, and I can do what I do with my soldiers that are under me. You are under authority. You have the power of God. Therefore, I believe that you can just say it, and my servant will be healed. And the Lord, of course, commends his faith. But the point here is that the Lord said, I'll go. I'll be inconvenienced. You know, you have plan A for a day, and you ought to try to follow plan A. But how many times have I said a good day is where you get 60% of what you plan done? And that's why it needs to be your A priorities that get done. But there's going to be 40, 50% of your day that's going to be plan B, okay? A number of you have little people that happen to get your attention. And you have to determine what is high priority. And people have a problem. They have a need. You know, people get into different situations. I appreciate how many of you will drop what you're doing and take someone to a doctor's appointment, and people that run into problems. And all of a sudden that comes across. And I tell you, first thing is, you know, this isn't going to work out today. But if the Lord prompts your heart, are we willing to do what needs to be done to help? Well, the point here, obviously, is to be selfless. And it's a pretty tough one to start with, isn't it? Approachable. Aren't we thankful that the Lord is approachable? Well, if you look, the reason I have to leave a tad early here is that we have the Spiritual Awakening Conference, so I've got to go meet with Brother Ingram here. But if you'll notice, the discussion questions are on the back of your notes so that you can now take them and file them. And I think it's a great idea. And the outcast, the hopeless, and the concerned. Those are the three that we cover today. So you can see what is laid out there. And I think you can have a good discussion. Let's just be honest about it. All of us have problems with this, folks. Okay. But if we're really going to be like Christ, it's wonderful to really get into a place of selflessness. So, all right. Lord bless you.